BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today for a News Roundup Friday on Crosstalk. We've got a lot of stories that Sandy's been preparing for us here today. We so appreciate these that are ready to go and so much more material than what we'll be able to cover, but we'll get as much info out there for you here today. Our thanks to Sandy for that. We've got Karen on the phones. Dennis is in the control room here today, and we're grateful for each one of you who are part of our listening families and to the many, many stations that are picking up Crosstalk. Take time and thank the local radio station that brings you Crosstalk. Thank them for providing the airtime so you can keep informed on vital news and information. Friends, all of this as we talk about, I believe the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And we could hear that trumpet blast at any time. That's my personal belief. And we trust that you will occupy, go about doing the Lord's business until he comes. Well, as we go to the news here today, our first story here from Fox News, President Biden in an interview with ABC that aired Thursday, yesterday, he said no one's been killed in Afghanistan, despite reports of at least seven deaths at that time, amid the chaos at the airport and of the Taliban beating people on their way to the airport, as he defended his handling of the American withdrawal from the country. Biden further told George Stephanopoulos that intelligence did not indicate that the Afghan government would quickly collapse, despite reports that is exactly what the intelligence said. And the president said that his advisors did not tell him to delay the troop withdrawals, despite reports that exactly what his advisors did. Oh, there's also him saying that when asked about the pandemonium near the airport, he said, but look, but no one there is being killed right now. He said, God forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now. Well, as it's been reported, multiple people in the intelligence community say they did warn the president that this could happen. According to Jim Garrity, he noticed and ignored all the advice and simply chose to lie to the American public. That's in the National Review. From the Wall Street Journal, the president's top generals, including chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Mark Milley, urged Mr. Biden to keep a force of about 2,500 troops, the size he inherited while seeking a peace agreement between warring Afghan factions, to keep and help maintain stability. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who previously served as a military commander in the region, said a full withdrawal wouldn't provide any insurance against instability. Wall Street Journal, Mike Pence said that Biden broke our deal with the Taliban. It's a foreign policy humiliation unlike anything our country has endured since the Iran hostage crisis. The likelihood that there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country of Afghanistan is highly unlikely, President Biden confidently proclaimed in July. There's going to be no circumstances where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy. Well, in February 2020, the Trump administration reached an agreement that required the Taliban to end all attacks on U.S. military personnel, to refuse terrorist safe harbor, and to negotiate with Afghan leaders on creating a new government. As long as these conditions were met, then the U.S. would conduct a gradual and orderly withdrawal of military forces. By the time we left office, the Afghan government and the Taliban each controlled their respective territories, Mike Pence said. Neither was mounting major offenses, and America had only 2,500 U.S. troops in the country. But when Mr. Biden became president, he quickly announced that the U.S. forces would remain in Afghanistan for additional 4 months. Without a clear reason for doing so, there was no plan to transport the billions of dollars worth of American equipment that now has been captured by the Taliban, or to evacuate the thousands of Americans. Rather, it seems that the president simply didn't want to appear to be abiding by the terms of a deal that was negotiated by his predecessor. Once Mr. Biden broke the deal, the Taliban launched a major offensive against the Afghan government and seized Kabul. President Joe Biden, during a Wednesday interview there on ABC News, said there may be about 15,000 Americans stuck in Afghanistan as U.S. forces hastily attempt to evacuate them from the airport. That's from the Epic Times. Americans should understand, he said, that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st. The president said the U.S. military will attempt to evacuate all Americans out of the South Asian country by that date. Now, think about this. Twitter's standards are called into question after users pointed out that a key Taliban spokesman has been using the platform to give updates about the group's advance with the country within the country there, while former President Trump's account remains permanently suspended. This is FoxNews.com. January 8th, Twitter announced on its blog that President Trump's account, which had over 80 million followers, was permanently suspended. The reasoning that they had was that the account kept it from being active because it would increase the risk of further incitement of violence. No to President Trump, says Twitter. Yes to the Taliban. FoxNews.com, the Biden administration moved in June to dismantle a system designed to protect American citizens trapped abroad just months before the Taliban took over Afghanistan, stranding the thousands. Fox News has obtained the June 11th memo sent around the State Department, which gave the green light on the discontinuation of the establishment and termination of the Contingency and Crisis Response Bureau. The sensitive but unclassified memo was signed by Deputy Secretary of State Brian McKeon just a couple of months before the Biden administration botched the troop withdrawal that saw Afghanistan fall under Taliban control. This was formed under the Secretary Mike Pompeo under the Trump administration, tasked with providing aviation, logistics, and medical support capabilities for the department's operational bureaus, thereby enhancing the secretary's ability to protect citizens overseas in connections with evacuations in the aftermath of some natural or man-made disaster. Guess what? It was the Biden administration that dismantled that program. Western Journal reporting Sharia law is triumphant in Afghanistan and democracy is dead. There will be no democratic system at all because it does not have any place base in our country, says senior Taliban leader Wahila Dula Hashami. I told the outlet, we will not discuss what kind of political system should we apply in Afghanistan because it is clear it is Sharia law and that is it, he said. We assure the international community that there will be no discrimination against women, but of course, within the frameworks we have. So as long as we follow Sharia, no discrimination against women. Well, Todd Starnes points out that the Taliban shot and killed a woman in Afghanistan for not wearing a head covering Tuesday after vowing to protect women's rights. A woman was assassinated after she went out in public without a burqa, according to the outlet. Further, Daily Wire is reporting Afghan Christians reportedly fleeing to the mountains in a desperate attempt to escape the Taliban, who's going door to door trying to kill them. An underground church that partners with Frontier Alliance International reported the Taliban are targeting Christians for death. The Taliban has a list of known Christians that are targeted to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct. There's no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge. All borders to neighboring countries are closed. All flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes. The Taliban are going door to door, taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old so that the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl and the house was not marked with this X, they will execute the entire family. If a married woman 25 years or older has been found, the Taliban promptly kill the husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. Husbands and fathers have given their wives and daughters guns and told them that when the Taliban come, they can choose to kill them or kill themselves. It is their choice. The story on the Daily Wire. Taliban are also reportedly rifling through people's phones to look for apps that would give them away as Christians. We're hearing from reliable sources that the Taliban demand people's phones. If they find a downloaded Bible on your device, they will kill you immediately, said Dr. Rex Rogers. From Jihad Watch, Biden could have and should have evacuated American civilians before withdrawing the military. He could have evacuated Americans via the airbase, which was defensible. Instead, he chose to abandon it and make our evacuation, including that of the military, dependent on Kabul's airport. This is a massive disaster, reports Daniel Greenfield at Jihad Watch, and there's no plan. Daily Caller is saying the Biden administration continues to tell fleeing Americans to pay their way out of Afghanistan. Think about this. Just hours after telling the press otherwise, the State Department told the press Thursday afternoon it had no intention of levying any such charges. But the request form on the website of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul says all passengers will need to reimburse the U.S. government for the flight. A promissory note for the full cost of the flight, which may exceed $2,000 per person, must be signed by each adult passenger before boarding. We're also interesting story here from Alan Gottlieb, Second Amendment Foundation, saying that reports from Afghanistan have revealed that the Taliban has been confiscating privately held firearms on the grounds that people don't need them for safety. Sound familiar? It sounds frighteningly similar to arguments Joe Biden has made in support of the ban on semi-automatic rifles and even 9mm pistols. Gottlieb said, quote, one of the first things Joe Biden did after taking office was to push his gun ban agenda. And one of the first things the Taliban did after taking Kabul was to go door to door seizing firearms. Looking here as well at the news from WND.com, one of the five Taliban leaders that was released by President Obama in 2014 in exchange for a U.S. Army deserter, Bo Bergdahl, is the mastermind of the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan. U.S. intelligence officials regarded the Taliban Five as the hardest of the hardcore and urged Obama to reconsider his decision to release them from Gitmo. Sperry noted that Obama assured Americans that the jihadist leaders would be transferred to Qatar and prevented from causing any trouble. Where's Mr. Obama on that now? Jihad Watch pointing out that Palestinians erected a flaming Star of David with swastikas inside, telling Israelis, "We want to burn you alive." As Breaking Israel News reports, Nazi ideology, consistent with the original charter of Hamas, which called for the murder of every Jew on the planet. This message was reiterated earlier this month by Fatih Hamad, a member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, elected by the Palestinian people, a leader in Hamas, who called for all the Palestinians around the world, his brothers in the diaspora, to rise up and kill Jews all over the world, saying, "Oh, you 7 million Palestinians abroad, enough warming up," he said in a speech. "There are Jews everywhere. We must attack every Jew on planet Earth," end of quote. A story from frontpagemag.com. In order to ensure the safety of Palestinian Arab school children, UN inspectors were asked by the UN Department, UNRWA, to examine a tunnel, part of the vast network of terror tunnels that Hamas has built in Gaza for unexploded ordnances. As soon as the UN's bomb disposal team arrived, Hamas operatives appeared and ordered them to leave before they could conduct their investigation. Hamas was about to be exposed by the UN mine inspectors for its war crimes against its own people. First, for having dug a terror tunnel directly under a school, thereby endangering children and staff should the tunnel be hit by Israel, and for having hidden weapons, including rockets, as well as launching pads inside or beside those schools. And third, for storing weapons as well as those in tunnels built directly under schools and building them under hospitals. And fourth, for having been so determined to hide the evidence of its crime by chasing UN inspectors offsite. Isn't that what they do? They bomb Israel. Israel fires back at the targets of Hamas, their terror tunnels. And guess what? Innocent civilians are killed, and they blame Israel for it. Hamas purposely putting their terror tunnels, firearms, weaponry right next to schools and hospitals. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Thank you for listening. So much happening in this world around us. When is the last time you prayed? Prayed for people to come to faith in Christ. Certainly prayed for leaders, those who are making decisions in so many critical areas across this land. Be praying for our churches that they would be strong in proclaiming the gospel. Be praying for families in such critical times as this. Well, friends, as we continue on with our news roundup today, the Independent Sentinel is reporting that China has dispatched warships, ASW aircraft, and fighter jets off the coast of Taiwan. They have mercilessly mocked the United States after the fall of Kabul and told Taiwan that the U.S. will not save them. They're currently holding assault drills near Taiwan. In a brief statement that released Tuesday, the People's Liberation Army said that the drills were using actual troops and recent U.S.-Taiwan provocations severely violated the peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. Also, what's interesting news here from the Daily Signal, they point out China has a lot to gain as it relates to Afghanistan. China now could have access to oil, copper, and rare earth minerals in Afghanistan, experts are saying. By expanding the Belt and Road Initiative, the Chinese are using a form of predatory capitalism by making nations completely dependent on China. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, the United States is falling lock, step, and barrel right in that same vein. Totally dependent on China. Look at all the things we're waiting for. Look at all the supplies that your stores have not been able to have. Look at the chips that have not been made available for automobiles across the nation, waiting for them from China, waiting for China. We're dependent upon China, folks. We also have a story here from DISRN.com. Recent U.S. intelligence indicates Russia has developed a super electromagnetic pulse, EMP weapon, along with a warhead, the projectile that carries the weapon, capable of carrying it at Mach 20 speed. The alarming developments documented in a report published by the Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, executive director of the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He said these EMP weapons could black out North America and NATO Europe and win World War III at the speed of light. EMP weapons are designed to explode at high enough altitudes that they can wipe out technology, including electric grids, across large swaths of land below. The resulting outage could last over a year. In his report, Pry also said that China had surpassed the U.S. in EMP warfare development, which is especially alarming after President Biden repealed his predecessor's ban on Chinese involvement with the U.S. electrical grid. We are wed to China. And just as the other story pointed out, we're totally dependent upon China, and we're giving more and more to China under this administration. Let's see, from yournews.com, a new promo by the Globalist World Economic Forum describes post-industrial changes that they have planned for humanity, including biometric surveillance and digitalization of work and education. The World Economic Forum website says, what are the long-term effects of the COVID-19 pandemic? These five trends give us a glimpse. The most alarming trend is the introduction of biometric surveillance using an individual's heartbeat as their ID signature. Digital acceleration has also put the limelight back onto security issues. Much of the world's move to online, whether for work or for your weekly shop, includes sharing personal or business information remotely with an ever wider number of entities, the WEF said. There are also trends described as a general shift away from a socializing in-person work and school environment, repurposing office space to create neighborhood hubs, cultivating a personalized cloud market home delivery system, and leaning more heavily on digital Zoom schooling for students. Yeah, the headline is this: Great Reset. World Economic Forum claims everybody will be ID'd and tracked, even with their heartbeat. PatriotAmerican.us reports, in an effort to prevent fraudulent claims which have plagued the online unemployment system, Pennsylvania has hired ID.me, a McLean, Virginia-based company, to authenticate users. Since 2020, some 27 states have hired this group for unemployment verification. And their online authentication process begins with a request for permission to use details from the user's credit profile and other public sources. Soon after that, they are users to consent to collecting their Social Security number, biometric data. The user cannot continue the process or receive unemployment without consenting. The fine print explains that ID.me may collect facial biometrics and voice prints. Users upload an image of a driver's license or passport and a current selfie image taken with their smartphone. In some cases, a video selfie is used. Users may also be required to call ID.me and leave a voice recording that is used to create a voice print. And their stores, they also store a user biometric data for use up to 7.5 years after they stop using the service, the agreement says. Interesting indeed. Okay, a federal judge, Northern Texas, reports the Federalist.com has issued a nationwide injunction ordering the Biden administration to reinstate former President Trump's migrant protection protocols or remain in Mexico policy. This was a lawsuit that was filed by the Missouri Attorney General and the Texas Attorney General. This is a disturbing story from Clarion News. A Spanish language flyer by the Red Cross provides detailed routes to the U.S. southern border, shelter locations, and instructions on how to jump off a moving train safely. Rancher John Sewell recently picked up a pamphlet that had fallen from the backpack of an illegal immigrant trespassing on his property in Texas, about 50 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. On one side is a map that details transport routes from Panama to the United States. It pinpoints in great detail where migrants can find shelter or get medical help along the way. The other side is full of useful information in Spanish, including how to move safely and travel through the forest and jungles, find shelter, get medical help, and deal with immigration authorities. It was published by the Red Cross and is titled Messages of Self-Help for Migrants. Again, Clarion News has that story. Okay, yeah, some other interesting news stories that are going on right now. The Ecosexual. Yeah, Ecosexuals hosting a joyful wedding to the earth. This coming from CNN.com. Yeah, CNN. When longtime partners Annie Sprinkle and Beth Stevens married the earth in 2008, it was an exuberant affair in the verdant redwoods of Santa Cruz, California, attended by more than 300 green-garbed jubilant guests. As Sprinkle and Stevens read their vows to honor and cherish the earth, they asked the guests to take them too. Each attendee was gifted a bag of soil and asked to inhale the scent. Well, following their green wedding, Sprinkle and Stevens gave their movement a name and a manifesto. The pair declared themselves to be ecosexuals, committed to treating the earth as a lover in order to save it. "We're really trying to change the lens that people see the earth through," said Stevens in a joint video interview with Sprinkle. "Rather than as a resource, we want people to see the earth as a source of pleasure in life and health. They're really interconnected." The story, it goes on for multiple pages on that I'm not going to get into here today, but Ecosexuals, this was just published August 16th, 2021, hosting joyful weddings to the earth. Now, friends, when I heard that story, my mind went to Romans chapter 1, that we're living in that time of Romans 1 in which we are worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. From the Federalist.com, The Church of Facebook is set to capture the human soul in silicon on July 25th. The New York Times reported that since 2017, the social media giant has quietly cultivated exclusive partnerships with select religious communities. As always, money is involved. While Facebook's ultimate goals remain sealed behind non-disclosure agreements, the Times article does hint at things to come. The company aims to become the virtual home for religious community and wants churches, mosques, synagogues, and others to embed their religious life into its platform, from hosting worship services and socializing more casually to soliciting money. The partnerships reveal how big tech and religion are converging, the Times continues. Facebook is shaping the future of religious experience itself, as it has done for political and social life. The headline is entitled, "Mark Zuckerberg is planting the first church of the metaverse. Chinese Communist Party officials and also state media are circulating a Chinese rap video that claims the coronavirus pandemic originated in an American military lab in an effort to distract from mounting evidence that the virus emerged in a Wuhan lab leak, reports the Free Beacon. The Chinese paper of record China Daily propaganda outlet Global Times and foreign ministry spokesmen have all circulated the rap video in the past month, along with articles and cartoons alleging that the COVID-19 pandemic emerged in the military lab at Fort Detrick in Maryland. There's an open letter from seven Canadian PhDs supporting the unvaccinated. LifeSiteNews.com has the story. You're not alone. As of July 28, 29% of Canadians have not received the COVID-19 vaccine, it says. An additional 14% have received one shot. In the U.S. and European Union, less than half of the population is fully vaccinated. Even in Israel, the world's lab, according to Pfizer, one-third of the people remain completely unvaccinated. It's entirely reasonable and legitimate to say no to insufficiently tested vaccines for which there is no reliable science. You have a right to assert guardianship of your body and to refuse medical treatments if you see fit. Your right to say no to a violation of your dignity, your integrity, and your body autonomy. It is your body. You have the right to choose, your right to fight for your children against this mass vaccination in school, they report. They say you are right to question whether free and informed consent is at all possible under present circumstances. You are being targeted by mainstream media. You're being told that you are now the problem. You're being viciously scapegoated by propaganda and pressured by others around you. You are inaccurately accused of being a factory for new SARS-CoV-2 variants, and you are justified in demanding independent, peer-reviewed studies. You are right to question the preliminary vaccine trial results. Do not be intimidated. You are showing resilience, integrity, and grit. You're coming together in your communities, making plans to help one another and standing for scientific accountability and free speech, which are required for society to thrive. We are among many who stand with you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 PhDs signing this open letter. These are doctors from Canada supporting the unvaccinated. Canada, NewAmerican.com says Canadians who wish to travel by air, train, or cruise ship, or who work for the federal government will be forced to accept one of the COVID-19 vaccines in the very near future, the Canadian government has announced. There is also news coming out that Quinnipiac University is going to fine and cut internet access to students who have not been vaccinated. FaithWire.com has a troubling story of a hospital reportedly removing sick patients, that is, from transplant list over their COVID vaccine refusal. Hospital in Washington State has reportedly removed several sick patients from its transplant wait list over their decision not to receive a vaccination against COVID-19. Troubling indeed. They're referring to the University of Washington Medical Center has booted several patients from its organ transplant list over the last several months. Friends, we're going to have some more here in just a moment, but right after the break, we're having a special anniversary for one of our ministries at VCY America. That's our VCY bookstore. We're going to have just a real brief interview with our bookstore manager that we recorded a short time ago, and we'll be sharing that with you, and then a few more stories here. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Well, hi, we're going to pause into our news roundup here for just some internal celebration here at VCY America. One of our ministries is the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center, and this year we are marking 25 years of ministry here in greater Milwaukee area and beyond as our resources do ship around the country. But such a wonderful time. We're going to just share a few minutes with you here on Crosstalk today in that there are some wonderful book offers that we'd like to let you know what our book Bookstore is celebrating and putting together this very month. With us is our bookstore manager, Rick. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Jim. It's good being here.
Indeed. And Rick, I know we're celebrating 25 years of ministry and outreach. I've asked you to come on just a few minutes here, and we want to share with our listeners some of the wonderful offerings you've been able to put together with various publishers. We talk about having a biblical worldview often here on Crosstalk, and one of the items you've got this month is a hardcover three-volume set, Understanding the Times, the Faith, and the Culture.
That's right. Understanding the Faith is a survey of apologetics. And Understanding the Times is a survey of competing worldviews. And Understanding the Culture is a survey of the culture, what goes on with all the issues in regards to that. So this whole set is something that's so important. Jim, 81% of born-again Christians do not have a biblical worldview. Mm. And that's why this set is so critically important.
Yeah. Now, from Summit Ministries, Rick, this is a three-volume hardcover set. Every one of these volumes is like 500 pages long.
Right.
And if we put these all together, regular retail on these are like $119.97.
We have them at 52% off. They're just $57.25 this month.
Okay, that's through August 31st, and the clock is ticking, folks, but we wanted to make you aware of this hardcover three-volume set they have for just $57.25. through August 31st. I wish we could take a whole Crosstalk just talking about these three books, but you'll find more information on their website. We'll give you the website and a phone number here momentarily. Also, Rick, I know a number of people are interested in Answers in Genesis Ministry. They have both the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter, and you've got a set of books that deals with all that signage that people see at these exhibits.
That's right. There's a lot of times people go to the museums and they can't even take the pictures. There's so many people around. They want those signs, and what they have done is they've put two books together, one on the Ark and one on the Creation Museum, and they've put all the signs in there full color, and it totally captures the information of what goes on at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. It's a valuable resource. It's something where it's not just thrown together. It's just a continuity between these books. It'll help you further your study.
And Rick, this set of books with these signs, one for the museum, one for Ark Encounter, if you put them together, they're normally $41.98.
We have them at 44% off. Our price is $23.25.
And that's through August 31st, plus any applicable tax and or shipping. When you contact the bookstore, they'll tell you about that. But Rick, there's a third set that you have also available this month for teens, primarily for teens 13 to 17, but people younger and older will benefit from them, called the Answers Book for Teens, volumes 1 and 2.
Yeah, Jim, teens have questions and they need answers, and sometimes they're even scared to ask questions. They think maybe they're doubting and they shouldn't, but that's not what it's all about. These books have 30 different questions, and framed in Scripture give the answers that these teens need to know. And it's invaluable, as you said, for teens, but anybody can profit from the questions and answers in these books.
And these are issues teens are being confronted with today.
Oh, exactly. And there's so much that is coming at them, it's almost hard for them to dodge everything. But they don't have to when they have the answers, and this will help them.
Volumes 1 and 2, the Answers Book for Teens, normally are $29.98, but
we have it at 45% off. It's just $16.25 for the two-volume set.
And that's through August 31. And one final item we wanted to tell you about is an exciting set of books, Rick, because it takes me back to my childhood. Many are familiar with the Sugar Creek Gang. You've got all 36 books in a set. Tell us about it.
Oh, it's a 36-book set, paperbacks, Sugar Creek Gang. It was started in 1940, written through to 1970. All these books have lessons for kids, power of prayer, loving one another, forgiveness, obedience. There's so many lessons in these. Plus, the gospel of Jesus Christ is in these books. And the adventure and the fun that these kids are going to read about will draw them right in to get They want to read the next one and the next one and the next one. These are so valuable to young readers.
Primarily geared for ages 8 to 12, the set of 36 books normally is $215.64.
We have it at 64% off. It's just $77.25.
Amazing. And friends, if you would like to consider these for birthdays, for upcoming Christmas, that entire set of Sugar Creek Gang books for $77.25. Rick, we're so appreciative of you being with us, but give us a website, give us a toll-free number as well our listeners can catch up with you.
Sure. Our phone number, first of all, is 888. That's 888-722-4829. And our website is vcy.com. That's vcy.com. All the information is there. We're open weekdays 10 to 6 Central Time and Saturday 10 to 4 Central Time, and we're located at 107th and Capitol Drive in Milwaukee.
And they serve all over the country. They'll tell you what the postage and or applicable taxes are. But, Rick, thank you so much for working with publishers to put together these great resources.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
And that was Rick Bach here from our VCY bookstore celebrating 25 years. VCY.com. Well, friends, more on the news roundup here today. Let's go to our listeners in Tucson, Arizona, of special interest. The city of Tucson's vaccine mandate for employees remains in effect after a group of labor unions sued the city over the policy, reports Tucson.com. The county superior judge, Richard Gordon, denied the Police Officers Association, the Firefighters Association, and communication workers of the American Local 7000 request for a temporary restraining order that would pause the city's enforcement of a vaccine mandate for 10 days, citing a lack of evidence and inability of the plaintiff's attorney to show that the labor organizations would experience irreparable harm from the mandate. In a 6-1 vote, August 13th, the city council decided to make vaccinations mandatory for nearly 4,500 city employees. The new ordinance would require all unvaccinated employees provide proof of their first vax dose by August 24th or face a 5-day suspension. Hospital hits a breaking point after firing 150 unvaccinated workers. That's right. It happened at Houston Methodist Hospital. They fired some 150 nurses and other hospital workers, apparently for not taking the experimental COVID shot. Apparently were regarded by administrators as being disposable. Guess what? Now they've got a shortage of workers. They have an influx of patients at the hospital, and they have these medical tents that have been erected outside the Lyndon B. Johnson Hospital, but they're vacant. Shortage of nurses. Also, Thursday, the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, announced that all healthcare and school workers in her state must have the shot by October 18th or 6 weeks after full FDA approval of the vax, whichever is later. They currently are being administered under emergency use authorization. FaithWire.com tells us of a pastor in Rockland, California, handing out emergency letters, exemption letters, to people who oppose taking the shot against COVID-19. He said, America is a free country. We have freedom of religion. And a person has a moral objection to taking a vaccine, we want to come alongside of them. This is Pastor Greg Farrington, pastor of Destiny Church, said he's not anti-vax, but he's a pro-freedom, particularly as it pertains to religious freedom. Also, interesting story here from WND.com. The Pentagon's decision to require all personnel to be vaccinated compromises national security, contends a career Navy officer. Commander J.H. Furman wrote in a memo that the forced vaccination of all military personnel with the present COVID-19 vaccines may compromise U.S. national security due to the unknown extent of serious vaccine complications. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announced Monday that the Pentagon will require a COVID-19 vax for all service members by mid-September or before then if the FDA grants approval for the experimental vaccines, which are now administered under emergency use authorization. Court martials, prison time, and less than honorable discharge are possible consequences for those who do not comply. And businesses that fail to comply with New York City's mandate requiring them to discriminate against unvaxxed individuals by denying entry could face up to $2,000 in fines. $2,000 in fines Mayor Bill de Blasio announced on Monday. That story at Breitbart.com. Let's open phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news stories, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Coming from ChristianHeadlines.com, Hobby Lobby has been fined $220,000 for requiring transgender woman to use unisex restroom. They're saying that they violated, Hobby Lobby violated an Illinois anti-discrimination law when it prohibited a biological male employee who identifies as female from using the women's restroom, an appeals court had ruled. The unanimous decision, hear that? A unanimous decision by a three-judge state appeals court panel upheld a ruling by the state's Human Rights Commission, which had fined Hobby Lobby $220,000 and ruled that the company violated the Illinois Human Rights Act, which is its East Aurora, Illinois store, prohibited what they call a transgender woman from using the women's restrooms. This is a biological male identifying as a woman. The store instead allowed her to use a unisex restroom. That wasn't good enough, folks. A $220,000 fine to cover the emotional distress and attorney's fees. Think about it. Also, the Seattle Homeless Ministry asking the Supreme Court to help after an LGBT lawsuit tries to force it to violate Christian beliefs. Seattle's Union Gospel Mission, pray for them, folks. They filed a petition asking the U.S. Supreme Court to decide its case after the Washington Supreme Court ruled in favor of a bisexual lawyer who sued the mission over its faith-based hiring policy. Attorney Matt Woods sued Seattle's Union Gospel Mission in 2017 when the nonprofit refused to hire him to its free legal aid clinic after he disclosed he was in a same-sex relationship. And now what's happening in another location, a Canadian male pastor who identifies now as a woman has filed a lawsuit against his former church for voting to fire him after he came out as transgender, claiming discrimination. When the Reverend Junia Joplin was hired by the Lorne Park Baptist Church in Ontario in 2014. He was living his life as a male that God formed him to be in his mother's womb. However, he revealed during a live stream sermon last year that he planned to live his life as a woman. The church fired him, and we understand is now a lawsuit brought against this Baptist church. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Star calling from Muscadet, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, doesn't it seem like our government is being the terrorists? I mean, they're just after all of the citizens in the United States, and they're not paying attention to what our needs are. And then who was the representative that called for step-downs in the government positions because of what's happening? Do you know?
I'm sorry, I don't have the name readily available.
Okay.
Thank you, Star. Tom in Warsaw, she says that the governments are being the terrorist in these things, targeting citizens. Tom, your thoughts from Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah, Jim, thank you. I have a question regarding the military mandating of vaccinations. Do you know, or is there any way you guys can find out and broadcast it sometime, if China, Russia, and Iran in particular are requiring military to be vaccinated?
Interesting question. I don't have a ready answer for it, but very thought-provoking. Thank you, Tom. Maybe one of the listeners has an answer to it.
Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, the number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday, August 15th, 2021, my friend and broadcast partner, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today, went home to be with the Lord. It was a quick sickness, just a matter of days. In fact, 2 weeks to the day that he died, he was preaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then he passed away after having complications from COVID. Dr. DeYoung has a long global ministry. From Day of Discovery to his own ministry, Prophecy Today, he reached untold millions. His greatest love was teaching the Bible, the Word of God, and he did it faithfully and consistently. His helpmate, Judy, his wife of 60-plus years, was by his side, and they traveled literally all over the world together. His children walk with the Lord and continue his ministry. What a great heritage. The Bible says a special blessing comes with those who seek to understand the prophecy. I believe today Jimmy DeYoung is receiving his blessed reward.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Right back to the phone lines to our friend Courtney in Miami. Hi, Courtney. You're on the air.
God bless all you saints. First of all, I want to lift up the name of Jesus, but I've missed you. They cut my radio off so I can't hear you. I'm an old man, so only have, I'm going on 81 in a couple of months.
Mm.
So I didn't have unlimited phones, so I couldn't listen to you every day. But now I'm all fixed up. And I want to tell you something, saints. Don't let the government blackmail you into taking a shot. Keep your trust in God and stay in that Bible every day, because that's what Satan is trying to do, to get us to denounce God. He's the one that put our immune system in it. And parents, raise your kids up in that word. I mean that. Raise them in the word, because they're sending them back to school, but they're sending them back to school to learn to hate one another. Hate is of the devil. God is love. Stay in the word, saints. And I missed you all. I really miss you all. And God bless all of y'all.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call here. We've got Houston calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a question. I mean, whatever happened to the Nuremberg laws? Because
yeah.
This is clearly, clearly against those. That's international law, and nobody's speaking about that, but we're all supposed to get forced to take an experimental vaccine. So I'm just wondering why nobody's talking about that, and, you know, that kind of needs to be implemented.
Did you hear yesterday's program, Houston?
Parts of it, sir. I was on it for a little bit. Yeah, I listen, you know, daily as much as I can.
Okay, because yesterday's program did address that. And Matt Staver from Liberty Council was with us, and the Nuremberg Code was one of our topics.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. And that's available at crosstalkamerica.com. You can go there, download it. You can hear it at crosstalkamerica.com. That's our interview with constitutional attorney Matt Staver. Stacy, calling from Akron, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi. You guys are always talking about how dangerous Islam is. Have you ever considered how dangerous Judaism is? How the Jews run everything? How the Jews control all our news? They are dangerous. Not all Jews, but they control Comcast. They control BlackRock, which controls 90% of media. Have you ever thought about that? Why do we support Israel?
Would you consider yourself an anti-Semite, Stacy?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Oh, that just understands that. Okay, because that understands your hatred of Jews, your hatred of Israel, and that is something that is certainly what we see coming from that. You know, the Islamic groups as well. They want to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. And you know what? We certainly pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Israel, we see, is God's chosen people. God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. In thee, Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And I'm so thankful for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a result of being born of Jewish parents. Thank you, Stacy, for your call. Trust your eyes will be open to the truth. Earl is calling from Illinois. You're on the air. Earl.
Yes. I just want a question on this administration forcing this vaccine, trying to take guns, and now they're going to bring 30,000 Afghan soldiers over here. Is any of this a Trojan horse?
Well, if you heard our interview with Usama Dakdak the other day, I think it was Monday of this week, he said absolutely, absolutely, and warned about this very aspect.
Okay, yeah, I did not get it. I'm a truck driver, so
okay.
I don't always get your guys' channel.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the call, because he certainly warned about Islam itself, not about Muslims as individuals, but about the driving force of Islam. And just a correction here, Usama was with us on Tuesday. Taliban takes Afghanistan. And again, you'll find that at crosstalkamerica.com. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Dominique in Mukwonago, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to call in and answer that question that was just asked about whether Russia and China were vaccinating their troops.
Yeah.
And it was either on Brandon House or Matt Staver that I heard that they are not giving the gene therapy vaccines that, or quote-unquote vaccines, that our military is being required to take because of the adverse reactions, and they don't want to, they don't want to obviously affect their own military strength, but they're giving them a more of a traditional vaccine that's only supposed to be 60% effective, but they're not risking their lives with the gene therapy ones.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it, Dominique. Okay. And we've got George calling from Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I'm happy I got a hold of you. You know, I'm really worried about this whole vaccine thing. What do you think the government is trying to accomplish?
You what? Let's we don't need to use language like that, and so we're going to not go that direction here. Thank you for thinking of us here, George, but we try to maintain language that's going to be suitable here for our audience, and thank you for understanding that. Friends, we're living in troublesome times, perilous times, and certainly we need to take note of what Scripture tells us, as I have so often referred to Paul's epistle to 2 Timothy, his letter to Timothy, just a young man in the faith, and he warned Timothy this. I'd just like to share with you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." He said, "For men," now you tell me, folks, if this doesn't sound like today. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." And Paul tells Timothy, "From such turn away." He also warned that they were going to have deception that was going to be taking place. He said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But he told Timothy, and I just want to encourage you listeners as well, "But continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child that hast thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then he reminds us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He tells Timothy to preach the word, to proclaim God's word. And friends, in this dark world in which we're living today, we need to proclaim God's word. Yes, there's going to be times of testing, times of tribulation, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I trust as you go to, as we approach Sunday, that you'll be in a Bible-believing church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.